Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
My first introduction to today's guest was this sound. Listen.
Now the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
His name is Woody Wright, and you know what? He's got a lot of behind-the-scenes credits, but he's also got equal billing as an artist, songwriter, musician. Man, his list goes on. It's a talented guy.
I remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were bad, but there's a silver lining behind every cloud.
Just poor people, that's all.
Woody Wright joins us today. Woody, it's good to talk to you.
Hello, Daniel. Good to be with you. Thanks for that beautiful introduction.
Hey, listen, you're in Alexandria, Indiana, and you live near a railroad track. What's the status of the railroad this afternoon?
Well, just 5 minutes ago, we had a train, so we should be good for at least 10 minutes.
Good.
I'm looking at the track now, and I think we're safe.
I'm a little jealous because my three-year-old loves trains, and it's ignited a passion I guess I have for trains, too. So.
Well, you can just tell him that you talked to Boxcar Woody today.
Okay, good. Hey, you know, we've recently visited with Michael Sykes, your friend and my friend, and with Ponder Sykes and Wright, and we learned a lot of that history and heard a lot of those sounds. But in 1998, I believe it was, the Gaither Homecoming Tour came to Atlanta, Georgia, to do a big taping at the Georgia Dome. And man, it was incredible. And the first note of the first anything that happened that day was you. And that what we just heard was the beginning of a medley of Daddy Sang Bass. And you were there. Would you say, at least to the homecoming crowd at that point, you were relatively unknown?
I was brand new to homecoming. That was my first Gaither videotaping. I was working for the Gaithers in their publishing company at the moment, and had begun to sing some of the harmony vocals on some of the pre-records for the Gaither videos. And that was my first experience. And wow, to step out in front of, 40,000 people and sing the first note of the day.
Wow.
Almost a cappella, you know. It was kind of an ad-lib thing. And, you talk about butterflies. They were huge. But what an experience to sing there at the Georgia Dome with all those folks and to have all my heroes behind me. It was a wonderful feeling.
Well, we'll do something different. Normally, I start at birth, and we kind of go from there. But we're going to start there, 1998, and go backwards. You were working for the Gaither Publishing Company, so I guess the natural question is, where did Gaither find you?
Well, I had worked for them before at the Spring Hill at the record label in the publishing division earlier on. And then I got an opportunity to be the background vocal leader of the section and the arranger for Nashville Network's Primetime Country. So I quit. And I went and did that job on television, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then when that show wound down, I went back to work. It's not very often you get to go back to a job when you leave it.
Yeah.
But I did, and worked for the Gaithers then. And then in 2009, Bill took me out on the road on the homecoming tour.
Mm. In 2009? Yeah.
1999.
Yep. Edit
point
there.
It's been a long time ago.
So 1999, you went out on the road with the homecoming tour. And and I love the sound you bring vocally. And I imagine you had some very complimentary fans.
Well, it's been great. And the biggest exposure I had on the homecoming videos was when I did John Denver's Back Home Again.
Oh, yeah.
And I had email and letters and comments from people all over the world who loved that song, and especially people who travel. That's a really special song to them. And I remember when Bill called me, I was apprehensive. I said, "Bill, that's not a gospel song. Are you sure?" He said, "What's not gospel about it?"
Yeah.
There's nothing more gospel than taking care of your family.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you're right. So And I tell Bill often that his accidental genius is getting on all of our nerves. I mean, he just he thinks these things that are outside the box and they work perfectly. So he's blessed in that regard.
There's a storm across the valley. Clouds are rolling in. The afternoon is heavy on your shoulder. There's a truck out on the four lane, a mile or more away. And the whining of his wheels just makes it colder. He's an hour away from riding all your prayers up in the sky. 10 days on the road, barely gone. There's a fire softly burning, supper on the stove. It's the light in your eyes that makes him warm. Hey, it's good to be back home again. Sometimes this so far feels like a long lost friend. Yes, and hey, it's good to be back home again. There's all the news to tell him. How'd you spend your time? What's the latest thing the neighbors say? And your mother called last Friday. Sunshine made her cry. You felt the baby move just yesterday. Hey, it's good to be back home again. Sometimes this so far feels like a long lost friend. Yes, and hey, it's good to be back home again. And oh, the time when I can lay this tired old body down. Feel your fingers feather soft upon me. That living with you brings me. It's the sweetest thing I know of, just spending time with you. It's the little things that make a house a home. Like a fire softly burning, supper on the stove. And the light in your eyes that makes me warm. Sing it. Hey, it's good to be back home again. Now sometimes this so far feels like a long lost friend. Yes, and hey, it's good to be back home again. To be back home again, you know it is. Sometimes this old farm feels like a long lost friend. Yes, and hey, it's good to be back home again. I said, hey, it's good to be back home again.
I love that song, and I do. There's something about it. I mean, say what you will about John Denver and the writer, but, you know, take it for what it's worth, and I agree.
He had lots of great songs. He was an excellent songwriter, and they were all positive songs, so There weren't any heartbroken John Denver songs, for sure.
Right, exactly. Well, going back, I know you have history with the Tennesseans, but let's start as a child. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in East Tennessee, about 30 miles west of Knoxville in Kingston, Tennessee. Right where Interstates 40 and 75 cross each other.
Wow.
One of the crossroads of America.
Yeah, really. Now, is that kind of foothills of the mountains?
Yes, it's in the valley, actually, between the Cumberland Plateau and the Great Smoky Mountains. Beautiful, beautiful countryside. Lots of water and hills and large hills. We lived on top of a really big hill in our town of Kingston.
Musical influence there in those hills or valleys, as the case is. What were they?
Well, it kind of explains where I come from, because when I was a small child, my dad played guitar and sang in a bluegrass band. And then when I was 4 or 5 years old, he started singing with a gospel quartet called the Dixie Ayers. Mm. And they traveled all over the South. And so that kind of explains. And then, you know, growing up, we'd watch the Saturday morning country music television shows, the Wilburn Brothers, Porter Wagner, and all those shows. So all three of those ingredients have formed what I am today. I'm a country, bluegrass, gospel quartet singing musician. So it's not a surprise that I turned out the way I did.
Exactly right. When did you kind of feel that the talent of songwriting might come out of you?
Well, I tried when I was in high school. I had my own group called the Woody Wright Singers. That's a humble name, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really.
The Woody Wright Singers. And we had our piano player is Gary Prim, who plays on many gospel records and country music recordings. And he's one of the Nashville super players now.
Yeah.
But we had a gospel group. Gary played in the band. We had a bass player and a drummer. And I had two girls singing background with me. So we traveled all over the South singing. And that was when I first started to write songs. They weren't very good, but they were sincere. And we recorded a few of them on our recordings that we went to Nashville to make. But I always, as a songwriter, was influenced by Larry Gatlin and Kris Kristofferson. Those were the two that really helped the songwriting bug to bite.
We've got a new project out that's called Turn from the Darkness, and we're going to listen to some of these songs today and hear some stories behind them. And I guess let's start off with that title, Turn from the Darkness. I like what you said in the credits, in the liner notes about shadows and light. You want to talk about that?
Sure. The thought crossed my mind. You know, people always talk about dark days and dark times and shadowy places in their life. And it dawned on me that we only see shadows when we're looking away from the light. So I thought that would relate into our relationship with God. We only see the darkness and the doubt and the shadowy places when our focus is not on God, because He is ultimate light. And as long as we are facing Him and seeking His face, we don't stumble in the darkness. Mm. So that's where that whole song came from, and I'm pretty thrilled with that one.
It's the title track, and this is Woody Wright. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
When I see my shadow and I am making shade, as it grows, the more I know I'm facing the wrong way. So Lord, help me remember, take comfort in the fact that I only see my shadow when I am looking back. The sun at high noon, a midnight full moon, and all of the stars on a clear night in and never outshine the light that I find when I turn from the darkness and look to you. distracted, and danger gets me down. Anxiety calls out to me and turns my head around. Remind me, Lord, that gloom and doom are under your control, and that holy light can brighten every corner of my soul. The sun at high noon, a midnight full moon, and all of the stars on a clear night in June can never outshine the light that I find when I turn from the darkness.
Writes our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and that's the title track from the new project, simply titled Turn From the Darkness, and a great way to open that project up. You've done many projects, and I'm talking about solo projects here, Woody, and I know the thread here is most of the songs, if not all of them, have been written by you or co-written by you, and on this one in particular, this album, I know all of them are written by you.
Yes. I'm too cheap to pay royalties to anyone but myself.
Do you find that this is a good way, though, to get your songs out there for people, other artists to hear?
Well, it is, and I do record an outside song every now and then, but this project in particular was pretty focused. The songs have a thread that kind of bind them together, darkness and light. And but I am a songwriter, so it's natural for me to use my own songs.
Sure, sure. Nothing wrong with that. The one song on here, My Soul Is Firmly Anchored, you did enlist the help. And in a lot of the songs, you have a lot of backup help. But this one, you put together a quartet. You want to talk about who's singing with you on it?
Oh, this is great. I always like to do a quartet song on my projects because this is part of my heritage and where I came from. And so I wanted to put together a great quartet. And as you mentioned the Tennesseans earlier, Little Willie Wynn, yep, from the Oak Ridge Boys back years ago, started the Tennesseans, and shortly after he started that group, I met him. He had the unfortunate happening to meet me, so, and he gave me his phone number, so I called him every week from then on, asking him if he'd help me find a job.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was 18, I'd just gotten out of high school, I didn't want to start college, I wanted to get out there and be in the quartet world. So Willie finally hired me as the bass player for the Tennesseans, and shortly after that, the baritone singer moved on, so I became the baritone singer with the Tennesseans.
Wow.
So when I wanted to put this quartet together, I wanted to get Willie to sing tenor with me. It's been a long time since we had sung together, and I don't know if anyone knows it, but Willie Wynn and Ben Spear are very close friends, and so I wanted to call Ben because Ben really helped me, and he let me use his studio and do it on credit. I think I owed him about $50 for about 4 years. We're using his studio, so I wanted to call Ben and get him in there. So I needed a bass singer, and I thought, wow, who else has helped me a lot? That would be Bill Gaither. So there's my quartet, and what fun it was to get those guys on tape.
Oh, I bet so, and this sounds pretty cool too, Woody.
You can hear all their voices, and it's fun.
Yeah, and let's talk about that part. Do you find that sometimes it's sometimes you put in, and you've produced stuff before other artists. Do you find it that you're onto something when you can get four voices to blend, but at the same time have individuality?
Oh yes, I mean their voices all have character. They're identifiable voices, but at the same time they're from the old school of blending and harmony.
Yeah.
The old Leroy Abernathy style of placing the tones in the same place and pronouncing the words the same way.
Yeah.
So it was about the easiest song to record vocally that's on the whole project.
And wow. It's My Soul is Firmly Anchored. Woody Wright.
My soul is firmly anchored in the rock of ages. Though angry waves may roll, I am secure and fearing not. Cause I'm holding to the promise written in the Bible pages. And my soul is firmly anchored in the solid rock. I read the morning paper, I watch the evening news. The enemy would love to see me shaking in my shoes. But I have got no one can take away. Day after gloomy day, my soul is firmly anchored in the rock of ages. Though angry waves may roll, I am secure and fearing not. Cause I'm holding to the promise written in the Bible pages. And my soul is firmly anchored in the solid. Change blow harder with every passing day, and it seems the land is shifting sand, but I'm standing anyway. Cause I have a firm foundation that my faith is resting on, from here to the great beyond.
Is our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and we're going through some of these songs that he's not only written but recorded on Turn from the Darkness. And by the way, these are available on your website.
That's right. WoodyWright.net, shameless plug.
And we're going to talk about your family and talk more about your history as we move along. Songwriting, I admire people who can take a thought, because I have thoughts all the time. I'd like to think some of them are profound, but I don't know how to transform that into a musical masterpiece like you do, so I'm jealous.
Send them to me, Daniel.
Good.
We can co-write. actually, that is how a lot of songs begin. We had a lot of success last year with Jeff and Sherry's Life is Great and Getting Better.
Yeah, yeah.
And that all came out of a telephone conversation just like we're having now.
Wow.
He said, man, we're getting ready to go in the studio. I said, well, how you doing? He said, man, my life is so great. He said, I just wish I had a song that said how great my life is. I said, let me call you back. About 20 minutes later, I called him back, and I sang the chorus to Life is Great and Getting Better.
Yeah.
And that's the way that song came about. So, yeah, your thoughts and your what you think is profound, if you think it is, someone else will too.
Well, and I told Phil Cross this, and of course, Gaithers are great at doing this too. I love a writer, and Donnie Rambo comes to mind. I love a writer who could take and play off the word, do a twist of the phrase, you know, and the song that comes to mind is When I Get Carried Away. That song's full of those twists of phrases.
Right. Do
you kind of have a knack for that every now and then, throwing that into your songs?
Well, I don't really aspire to do that. It happens naturally sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you'll have a phrase with lots of words starting with the same letter or some kind of poetic trick or turn here and there just to see if anyone's paying attention, because a lot of times folks are looking for something a little different like that. But yeah, I mean, and without overdoing the thesaurus and the rhyming dictionary.
Right.
You know, you want it to come natural as well.
Yeah. Well, that's a natural segue to the song that just the title jumped off of the CD case to me when I was glancing down the list. And it's track two on the project, I've Never Been Where I'm Going. And it makes perfect sense, but it does cause you to think a little bit when you read it at first. I've never been where I'm going.
Yeah, I shudder to say this in the Southern gospel world, but we tend to make our heaven songs a bit mournful. You know, we're just holding on until we can see the face of the Savior, when Jesus said he came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. So, sure, we can look forward to heaven, but we have a lot of life on earth to live in the meantime. And the kicker in that song is I'm going. And I'm in the process of going, and I've never been there. But when I do get there, I know I'm going to feel at home. There's the whole premise behind that title.
I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm going to feel at home. I've never seen the face of God, but when I do see him, I'll know. He's the one who made a way for me when there was no way to go. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm going to feel at home. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm going to feel at home. My name is on the mailbox where I live. I park my car in the drive. I mow my grass and I pull those weeds so it looks good to passersby. But someday I'll go to the home of the soul the Master has promised for me. He's preparing a place at the end of the race where I'll spend eternity. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm gonna feel at home. I've never seen the face of God, but when I do see him, I'll know. He's the one who made a way for me when there was no way to go. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm gonna feel at home. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm gonna feel at home. Yes, I will.
him, I don't know. He's the one who made a way for me when there was no way to go. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm gonna feel at home. Oh yes, I will. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm gonna feel at home. I've never been where I'm going, but I know I'm gonna feel at home. Oh, I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know I'm gonna feel at home. Oh, I know,
yes, I know,
oh, I know I'm gonna feel at home.
Woody Wright is our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and the project is Turn From Darkness. So how many years, we're here in 2009 now. All told, can you add it up and see how many years you've been working, at least as a Gaither staffer, writing songs and in the publishing arm of Gaithers?
I first hooked up with them in 1994, I suppose.
Yeah.
So that would be, 15 years. And they've been very, very good to Woody Wright, I'll tell you that.
Hey, I know we talked about it with when you were on the line with Michael Sykes, but I want to remind people, Ponder Sykes and Wright, you guys are putting together some ideas, putting together some dates, and you've got an itch to get back out on the road again. And
well, you just never know. It's been a long time. It's been, this year would be 30 years since Ponder Sykes and Wright made the first chord together in my living room. Mm. And we've all kind of gone our separate ways. Earlier in the year, I asked the guys, I said, you know what, it's been 30 years, I think, and it's been a long time since we've sung together. So it'd be fun to go out and hear that blend again. So many people remember it, and people come up to me almost every night and say, I remember the Ponder Sykes and Wright, and I really love that, and when are you going to do some more recording? And so you never know. We'll see what happens.
Did you write a lot of what they performed?
Well, the last CD, we made the two CDs, and I think I had three songs on each CD that I either wrote or co-wrote. I co-wrote several with Suzanne Jennings.
Yeah.
And those turned out great. She really helped us a lot when we were making those recordings, and she and Michael have written lots of great songs, too.
There's a song on your new project called Jesus Doesn't Love You. That's another one that stuck out to me because it gets your attention. Woody doesn't sound like the gospel.
Just reading the titles on the back, that's the one that gets the most response. Jesus doesn't love you. What was that?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my mother-in-law said, she's a Polish lady. She said, oh, yes, he do, Woody.
But you have to listen all the way through to get the meaning. In fact, let's listen to it now, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
You're not perfect, you've done wrong. Your list of good deeds is short, and your list of sins is long. So according to the Bible, a conclusion has been made. There's just no way around it, and the verdict can't be swayed. You've cursed his name, you broke his heart. Unkept promises you've made to him, and you failed to do your part. So it should come as no surprise when I say these words to you. You may not believe me, but you'll find I speak the truth. Jesus doesn't love you. Jesus doesn't love you. Jesus doesn't love you. Any less. Done. No matter where you've been, no matter.
Our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and now that you know the rest of the story, as the late Paul Harvey would have said, Jesus doesn't love you is the title, dot, 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 and finish the sentence, and you figure out where you're going there.
Jesus, yeah. No matter what you've done, Jesus doesn't love you any less.
That is such a pertinent message. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't around in the 1800s or 1700s or in the early church days even, to know how pertinent it was then, but it just seems like today that's what the church needs to hear. It's Jesus doesn't love you any less. Do you find that to be true in the circles you run around in?
I do, and especially, you know, as long as the church has humans in it, there's going to be failure, and there's going to be falling away, and I have seen a series of falling away in leaders and people that I've worked with, in not just in regular walks of life, and not just the political circles, but the church has been damaged and injured by so many people that have fallen away. And then after the hoopla dies down, hey, that is still someone that Jesus loves, no matter what they've done. And I think that's a message that's important for everyone to know. I've got folks in my family that feel like they have done things that would keep them out of the church and keep them out of fellowship with God forever. And that was the inspiration behind that song, because I, as well, had dark days when I was not facing the light like I should, and I fell away and did some things that I regret. But it's just like the prodigal in Luke. The Father's arms are open, and we are welcome back. No matter what we've done or how long we've been away, the Father is still looking for us to come home.
I think there's a familiar or a common strain also in the song you wrote, The Things You Know, and Larry Gatlin joined you for that song.
Oh, that was a blessing. I got to spend some time with Larry the last few years, and I asked him if he would help me with this recording. And if you listen closely, you can hear a lot of Gatlin-style melody in that tune. It was natural for him to sing on that particular song. The chord changes in the melody, I probably should give him half the royalties because it's pretty Gatlin-esque, but he was kind enough to help me with it, and it really turned out great. But that's what I say in the liner notes about the song is, isn't it great to, you know, to that God knows everything, but he doesn't act like a know-it-all. He doesn't hold it over our head.
That's good.
Not only does he know it all, he understands it all.
The Things You Know, Woody Wright.
You know how many hairs are on my head. You know when I'm awake and when I'm sleeping in my bed. You know everywhere I've been and everywhere I'd love to go. It amazes me, all the things you know. You know how to make the moon shine big and bright. You know how to make the sun come up and chase away the night. You knew we'd love the flowers, that's why you made them grow. I'm amazed at all the things you know. And even though you know about the bad things I have done, you love me just the same as if I'd never done a single one. You knew before the day that I was born I'd need a friend to love and understand me from beginning to end. You know what makes the world go round and round. You know the things that make us smile and what brings on a frown. You knew we needed Jesus, so you sent him here below. And I'm so thankful for all the things you know. You knew that we could never quite repay the awful cost that Christ, your only Son, would pay by dying for us on the cross. You also knew the grave could never hold his body down, and that we will all be with you when the final trumpet sounds. You know how long forever's gonna be. You know what heaven's really like and all the sights we'll see. You know we'll spend eternity with you around the throne. And someday I'll know all.
Daniel Britton, Friends with Woody Wright, and that's The Things You Know, Larry Gatlin on that cut. And now that you've heard it, boy, it does have that Gatlin kind of sound to it. What were you doing when the Gatlin brothers were at the height of their career? I mean, were you a fan? Were you listening?
I kind of fell off the Gatlin bandwagon. Actually, the very first Gatlin recording called The Pilgrim is still, if not one of my favorite recordings ever. So the first two or three solo Larry Gatlin recordings, they didn't really have any hits on them, but the songwriting and the music was just excellent. And that's where the Gatlin bug bit me.
Mm.
Of course, I wouldn't have turned down being a Gatlin brother myself.
That's right.
But I've also gotten to meet and be around Rudy and Steve Gatlin, too, and they're great, great people. And
yeah. A little while ago, you mentioned the word political, okay? And that enters the church probably more than it should. But we could do a whole...
We've got our own little political world in most churches.
Well, that's true. That's true. As it relates to Washington and America and Republican and Democrat and independents, and everybody's got an opinion, and everybody, you know, wants the best for America, and they believe their opinion is for the best of themselves or for America or both. You decided to come up with a song that I think we all probably can be unified when the election season is over, and the title of it is "I'm So Glad It's Over." Not necessarily. Well, you talk about the song. Is there a spiritual tone here as well, or is this just good, clean American fun?
I don't know how fun it is, but I know it was the sentiment on the first Wednesday of November, and probably will be every 4 years, sadly to say, because it's just turned into a bloodletting where both candidates prove the other unfit. It's like a bad child custody hearing where both parties prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the other is unfit to serve, and then one of them wins, and it's just a sad commentary on who we've become politically. But that's what it takes to win, and in our media-driven world that we live in, everybody the day after the election, whether they won or lost, says, "Boy, I'm glad that's over," and I hope we don't go through that again. So that became my theme song, and I still sing it, and folks still, when the first time you say "I'm so glad it's over," there's always an eruption of applause.
yeah probably for, like you say, from all camps. Would you say that you are a political person, you have political convictions, or do you just close your ears and say, you know what, I'm just tired of it all?
Well, someone asked me the other day, what are my political views? And I said, they're mostly obstructed. Because I really can't see what is best. You really have to, it's almost a roll of the dice to get the right one and someone who has the proper motives. I think we have too many career politicians, and I'm a supporter of term limits for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think guys get in there for a long time and they forget why and how they got there. So, but politics makes me prayerful. Maybe that's the next song.
Yeah, exactly.
They put each other down as they chased each other all around the country. They called each other names and said the other was to blame for all that's wrong. All the papers and the magazines and television shows told the story. Results are finally in. It's time to shake hands and be friends and get along. Oh, I'm so glad that it's over. I hope we never go through that again. Yeah, I'm so glad. And honestly try, in spite of the fact we don't see eye to eye, we could make America a better place to live. Lord knows something's gotta give. Oh, I'm so glad that it's over. I hope we never
Right, and he's our guest today. His project is Turn From the Darkness. Woody is on our guest line now on Daniel Britt and Friends. You know, the way you end this project, Turn From the Darkness, I like it because you've gone through a journey with these songs and a couple of the songs we talked about, like the one Jesus Doesn't Love You, that's a great song to remind us what the gospel, it's what Martin Luther said, you got to preach the gospel to each other and yourselves every day, lest you get discouraged.
Right.
And I think that's what you did with those songs in the middle of the project. But at the end, you've got Light Doesn't Make a Sound. And I think that's just a wonderful way. Once you get your priorities straight and you want to do the best you can do, live your life the best you know how as a Christian, serve God as faithfully as you know how to serve Him, then you may stumble on that some, and you've got this song that encourages you, and there's a personal story behind it with your wife.
Yeah, there is, and it's a little twist on the St. Francis quote, to preach the good news at all times, and if necessary, use words.
Yeah.
I love that quote, but when my wife came home, she works in our county adult probation department, and she came home one day in tears, wishing she could find the words to be a light to the people that she worked with. She's a very compassionate person, and she cares about the people that she works with. And that's when those words just came out of my mouth. I said, well, honey, light doesn't make a sound. And Jesus called us to be salt and light in the earth.
Yeah.
That's what he, and neither one of those things make any noise. I've never heard salt say a thing when you put it on on your food, and you turn the light on and you can see it, but you just can't hear it. But it certainly makes a difference. And I think as Christians today, we need to remember that. We can preach wonderful, eloquent sermons and just really cross all of our T's and dot our I's. But if we're not living what we're talking about, it makes no difference in someone's life. And I think the best sermons have no words. So that's where this song came from.
You don't have to speak with great ability. You don't have to sing or shout or preach or cry. There's no need to make your point with style or eloquence, or to flawlessly debate the how and why. Jesus told us how to spread the good news. The most effective way to break the barriers down is to demonstrate His love to all who see us. Because light doesn't make a sound. No, light doesn't make a sound. In a world that's filled with gloom and sadness, crooked, perverted, and unkind, we must appear to be harmless and blameless, illuminating hope by letting our light shine. The smallest candle drives away the darkness. A tiny spark can cause a raging blaze. A flash can take the shadow from the picture. And the moon reflects the sun in every face. So when you think that you can't be a witness, or find the words to bring someone around, just remember, folks are watching your example, and that light doesn't make a sound. No, light doesn't make a sound. Light doesn't make a sound.
Woody Wright, Turn from the Darkness is the project we've been listening to today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and his songwriting will continue. I'm sure with the as any songwriter has told me before, if it's in you, it's got to come out, and you can't stop it. And I'm sure you can attest to that. So that's going to continue. The songs will continue to be performed, and I hope so. I love the sound, the tone of your voice. You got a cool sound, buddy.
Well, it's a little different, and it's certainly different in the Southern gospel world, and I hope folks really get the messages. I'm thrilled that the songs are getting out there. I just found out that my friends Legacy 5 have recorded My Soul is Firmly Anchored, and my friends Paid in Full have recorded Light Doesn't Make a Sound. So these songs are making their way around, and hopefully lots of folks will hear them, and they will be touched and inspired to good deeds.
Yes.
Through these words and music.
Well, if you don't find Woody in a solo venue, then you can look for him maybe traveling with your wife, doing some love song type stuff you've done, or with
sure.
Stephen Hill at Christmas time, or even with Ponder, Sykes, and Wright.
Yeah, this year for Christmas, Stephen and I are going to Europe, so this is our sixth annual Spirit of Christmas tour, and we're going to Norway and the Netherlands, and we're talking to some folks in Sweden, so we're excited.
Real quickly, how did you hook up with Stephen? Where did you guys meet?
Stephen and I worked in the studio together on the first thing we worked on together was, you remember Bruce Haynes?
Yeah.
Bruce wrote Praise the Lord for Jeff and Sherry, and he did the Christian country thing for a number of years, and Stephen and I sang together on that, and then we started doing the background vocals with the Gaithers. So he and I came on the Gaither scene about the same time.
Wow. Bruce wrote Going Away Party, too, didn't he?
He did. That's right.
Yeah. Good song.
Great song, yeah.
Woody, it's been fun to hook up with you again and reminisce a little bit. And, you know, we've done this before, and your story to me is amazing because, you know, I first saw you at 98. And it's crazy how much more of a history there is than just that. You know, pre-1998 years, you know, we could do hours upon all of those years of traveling and your experience in studios and on stages. So thanks for your time today.
Hey, Daniel, I have certainly been blessed. And it's a blessing to, like Waylon Jennings said, it's a blessing to get paid to do what we would gladly do for free. It's been great to talk to you today, and I appreciate you for getting this music out there and keeping it coming, and you keep it up too, buddy.
All right, thanks, man. And woodywright.net is where you need to go to find out more about today's
more
project.
More information than you ever wanted to know, with photographs that take you all the way back to the ugly years.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
woodywright.net.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.